operating Australia's largest complementary SME model, helping the defence sector optimise capability and assets. Gold Group presents the Defence Ready Seminar Series podcasts. The Defence Ready Seminar Series is a joint initiative of Gold Group, Hunter Defence, Aiden, and the Centre for Defence Industry Capability.
Welcome to the Defence Ready Seminar Series of podcasts. My name's Grant McCarran, and in this episode, we'll be covering the Defence Cyber Regulatory Controls topic. For this discussion, I'm joined by Ray Harvey, who is the Defence Business Development Manager for eSafe and Guardware. Welcome, Ray.
Good morning, Grant. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks, and great for you to share some of your time to step us through the Defence Cyber Regulatory Controls topic. Quite the mouthful there, as is the Defence Business Development Manager role. That was a bit of fun to say. So, mate, it sounds like you're right in there with everything. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to where you are now and what roles you've had?
Yeah, sure. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version to keep it nice and sane, but I've been in IT, electronics and telecoms probably for the better part of 40 years. Started out with computers when they were punch card and made out of flint and animal bones. I've spent 7 years teaching teachers, of all people, how to use technology, things like data loggers, digital equipment sensors, things like that. I had the glorious blessing, I suppose you'd call it, of having one of my training sessions used to teach teachers at university. So the last 5 years, I've been working in the defence space in cybersecurity with a very specific goal of securing data. And that's been, wow, yeah, it's been a journey. There's a lot to learn, a lot to grapple with, a lot to cover. So it's been a stretch for the brain.
I could well imagine. A very interesting topic, near and dear to many of our hearts, keeping everything secure so people don't get too much information that they're not allowed, despite everyone sharing everything on social media.
Yes, don't get me started on social media.
I could imagine. So with your background in IT and cybersecurity and so on, obviously well-placed to present this seminar. So can you please describe the main theme of the workshop bundle and how you're going to deliver it?
The main theme of this workshop revolves tightly around standards and frameworks for cybersecurity. So most SMEs who are in the commercial world, you know, they'll take the commonly available steps to secure their companies, you know, malware, antivirus, those sorts of things. That just doesn't cover it when you're moving into defence. It's a whole different game when you play cyber in the defence industrial base. So one of the main things that people don't understand is that you can't hide in the anonymity of the herd in the defence industrial base. You're in publications, you're in print, you're shared online, you're very, very visible. And the people who are looking to steal the things that you have probably get Defence Connect in their mailbox every Friday morning. So this is the problem that companies encounter when they're coming in. Now, fortunately, there are a number of ways that you can defend yourself, and these revolve around cybersecurity standards and frameworks. They're a collection of best practice guidelines that give organisations the essential risk management strategies for dealing with cyber. In simple terms, the purpose is to, I suppose it's to prepare organisations in as much as you can be for encountering the most likely IT threats before they arise. These standards are generally designed to be applicable regardless of organisation size and industry. When you get into micro enterprises, obviously people have extreme limitations on staffing and cash flow. But generally speaking, you can apply these standards across all organisations. So the standards and frameworks really do a number of critical tasks that help people reduce cyber risk to a manageable process. First, they give you a standard language, which is really important. Standard language, standard terminology for cyber. So when you're talking to anyone in the industry, whether it's a prime or an IT person, you have common language you can use. That's critical. Second thing is that they help organizations identify risks, manage priorities. That's super important. And work to close the gaps, right, when they're looking at their protective strategies. So you need those steps kind of in that priority. Otherwise, it becomes just too big a mountain. Third, they're a roadmap. They give you a roadmap for applying the processes and procedures, because some of these things need to be done in a specific order and they need to be done methodically. Lastly, they give you a consistent mechanism for evaluating the resulting security of these computing environments. So, most important of all, they're a commonly understood environment for the Commonwealth and defence primes to assess the risk inherent in engaging with you, the SME, for their very sensitive special staff. So that's kind of a nutshell, but the benefits don't necessarily end there either. In the commercial world, purchasing decisions are very, very rarely halted because of suppliers' cyber. It's just not something that most purchasing officers will even consider. And in 13 years of working in electronics wholesale, I can't ever remember one single incident where procurement officer said to me, oh, by the way, what's your cyber like? How good's your cyber? It just never happened. In defence, that's probably going to be one of the very first questions before you even get to how much for how much. It'll be, oh, what's your cyber like? So that's going to be something you'll hit straight up and you'll hit early. And the increasing impact of cyber events really is driving an almost continuous overhaul in how defence does things and the regulatory regimes of most of the Western nations. What we're seeing even at the moment is that there's a trend in the industry now to shift towards specifically ISO 27001. That's kind of come out of the woodwork in the last couple of weeks. We're starting to see this repetitive pattern, even though DISP says you can use NIST 800-171, DEFSTAN 05-138. ISO 27001 is starting to become talked about a lot more consistently. So these kind of things are evolving in the cyberspace environment all the time. The most important thing to understand is that the change in cybersecurity posture from the primes and from defence is now a key discriminator when you're having contract negotiations. Right? It is one of the foundation things that will trip you up. We've had it just revealed to us recently that 40% of all SMEs who apply for contracts don't make the cut. It's not because they can't make the part. It's not because they can't make the part for the right price. It's because they can't secure the information to the relevant levels that people want it done to.
So clearly this is a complex subject and very, very important. Another one of the underlying parts of dealing with defence. So how do you intend to approach this subject? How are you going to present it and help the SMEs, the attendees, get their heads around it?
Carefully and with a big stick, I think is the word. No. What we'll do is we'll break the course into six sessions of an hour duration each. And I think from experience, that's about all people can handle. Staring at a screen, listening to a head talk for an hour is enough for anybody. So we'll give people a half hour bump in, you know, time to get ready, make sure your equipment works, introduce who's who in the zoo. We'll spend an hour going through the material, and then there'll be an availability of 30 minutes afterwards for questions and further answers. Now, there's a caveat to this, that one of the things I learned teaching teachers is the joy of the flipped classroom model, which is easy to say and easy to explain. So what the participants are going to get in a flipped classroom, what students get is they'll get the content they're supposed to work through prior to the session. So it's called pre-reading, which sometimes it's previewing of material. But what it does is it gives students or participants a foundation for what they're going to be talking about. So instead of spending your important face time trying to get everybody up to speed, you can use the important face time in discussing what people should have pre-read. So you're actually getting time on the board before you even start. And that allows people to absorb the material at their own pace. If they don't understand it, they can go back and review again and again. And then when it comes to the session in the 1 hour, we'll cut to the important aspects of it and we'll discuss it at that level. So, everybody's busy trying to make a living with COVID, and time is precious. And in an SME, time is everything. It's one of the triple constraints. So using this method, people can do the reading and the viewing in chunks at times that suit them, rather than being bowed down to getting ready for that 1 hour and knowing everything within that 1 hour, which you won't. So participants will get some background material relative to the workshop content. They'll get a framework to discuss the content on, an introduction to common terms and concepts, and most importantly, a dictionary of acronyms. God, don't we love our acronyms.
Yes.
So what we'll do over the 6 sessions is we'll actually build on that dictionary of all the acronyms that we cover in each session to try and give people, once again, to build a vocabulary, because nothing keeps you out of a conversation more than standing there thinking, what did you just say? I've never heard that before. So after each workshop, after we've done the session and we've chewed through the material, participants will receive a post-session package from our email. That'll be tools and strategies and implementation of what they've done in the workshop, suggested reading list for those who are into pain and want to learn more, and an exit survey basically for the workshop to try and help us tidy up how we do things and make it smoother, improve things. So the goal of this is each session in itself is a bite, and the aim will be to give people some tools and some uplift in terms of knowledge so they can then go and try that in their work environment. And some of these things will actually flow over into their personal life as well. So they'll be able to do something at each step of the way, and I think that's probably the best way to get the benefit out of it.
Yeah, having some hands-on application and guides and so on and reinforcing what you've just learned is definitely an important aspect. So once again, very important topic, 6 one-hour sessions that are really 2 hours long for the pre and post session as well. It's going to be quite the comprehensive topic. So how does this fit into the rest of the Defence Ready series?
Well, initially, when we were developing the material a couple of years ago now, the discussion was that how we would all interlock together. And as we developed our courses, it became very apparent to me that cyber was going to be a thread that wove through everything. So the Defence Business Development Workshop, that's enhancing branding, marketing, messaging, improving opportunities at trade shows and the like, yeah, followed successfully, that helps enterprises stand out. And we talked earlier about standing out from the herd. And particularly when you're at trade shows, you're handing out material, contact details, information about your company. Those kind of things can be used to enter a company's space and to hack you. So there are elements of what we'll discuss in this about personal information, keeping things nice and clean, minimizing your footprint on the web, and that reduces the ability for you to be hacked, and particularly at events like this, it becomes prime. And as I said earlier, the bad guys get Defence Connect too, generally to their inbox. They probably even got subscriptions. So moving on from that, the 40% of people who don't make it into contract negotiations, imagine being one of the guys that doesn't impact. You've just eliminated 40% of your competitors without even lifting a pen. So the Defence Tendering 101 workshop, the goal of that workshop is to win contracts, and good cyber hygiene ensures that you're over that particular hurdle before you even start the contract negotiation. So poor cybersec is a liability, right? Good cybersecurity is a distinct advantage. So we wrap into that as one of probably the least spoken aspects of Defence Tendering, and that if you haven't got your cyber right, you're wasting your time. Introduction to Defence ISO standards and Defence Advanced ISO. Well, again, one of the frameworks that's principal now is ISO 27001. So if you're attending those two ISO workshops, Michael is going to work you through fairly extensively how to implement ISO. So that's going to be enormously helpful when you then look at cyber and say, oh, ISO 27001. You'll come to that workshop with a much more fine-grained understanding of what we're talking about, and it'll be much more readily accessible to you, and you'll be able to use those ISO tools that you learned in Mike's workshops to implement cyber. Because cyber is a process. It's not a Band-Aid. It's a journey, and it never ends.
That's that much is certain.
So from there, you have the Defence Industry Security Program, the DISP workshop. Now, there's a lot of synchrony between the DISP workshop and what I talk about. The DISP workshop is going to be very specifically focusing on the pathway to the Defence Industry Security Program and what you need to do in that. Defence regulatory controls will be from the perspective of the DISP world. However, we're going to also look at the peripheral subject matter that DISP won't touch on, but what we will be looking at will reinforce what you learn in the DISP course. Okay, so there's a situation where we're pretty tightly laced together, but we're tackling that subject from two different directions, the practical and the methodical, what you need to do to achieve DISP, then the practical aspects of what does that look like in my world from a perspective of case studies, a perspective of some of the environmental factors such as social media bleed that are all going to leak into things like compromised credentials, which undermine your whole DISP effort, but are not really going to be core subjects for the DISP course. Collaboration in defence and defence legal. I think defence legal really says it all. You have legal obligations in some of the data that you're going to be handling, and contractors are expected to be able to handle sensitive information with responsibility and accountability. That's the basis of cyber as well. CIA, confidentiality, integrity, and availability. Those are the three things that we aim for when we're managing data. Is it confidential? Can we trust it? Has it been tampered with? Is it in its natural form? And is it available to be used in the organization, or is it so bound up that people start looking for ways to cheat the system so they can do their job? If you haven't capped off those three things, you're really undermining what you're doing. But that has its direct implications for collaboration, because a lot of the time you're working with defense data, or you're working with data from your peers or your own intellectual property, and you're trying to safeguard those things in collaborative environments, and you're hoping that the other collaborators are doing the same thing. So again, cyber, data management, it all ties together in that effort. And defence industry workforce, the resilience and well-being, I think COVID more than anything else has taught us and woken us up to the vital importance of mental well-being. I know I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm looking at the back fence working from home, and I can probably close my eyes and tell you how many palings are in the back fence. I've been looking at it for 2 years.
Yes.
And it does mess with the man's head. Now, how does that relate to cyber? Well, one of the things that people don't really understand about cyber isn't hardware and it's not software. And I'll say that again because people miss it. It's not hardware and it's not software. Cyber is people and business processes, because cybersecurity is a business process problem. And part of that business process is looking after your staff. And in particular with DISP, that everyone hopefully is going to be entering the journey on, internal threats, misbehavior, mistakes, unplanned data leaks tie back very consistently to people, because they're human errors. Sometimes it's human error for fatigue. Sometimes it's a process error. Sometimes little Timmy didn't kind of get the review he wanted, and in vengeance, he'll take something out on the company. And we'll have case studies that we'll be using that show incidents that have occurred in that fashion. So if you're managing mental health, then you're in a good position to look at how mental health issues impact cyber. If somebody started drinking and gambling because their relationship's falling apart, then it's possible that at some point they'll become cash poor. Maybe they'll start to play fast and loose with data because data is value. So these things do tie together very significantly and quite deeply. Export controls, I'll just use one word, it's ITAR. And there are plenty of lessons coming out of the trade publications now about people who've played fast and loose with ITAR and now they're suffering. So most of the information flowing in the defence industrial base today is digital. ITAR is no exception. No one walks out of defence with a roll of blueprints under their armpits. It's just not done anymore. It's all digital. And digital is highly mobile. It's highly stealable. I can steal your data and you won't even know I've been there because you've still got it. No, I've still got it. It's fine. It's all right here. It's copied. It's gone. And you don't even know. So in the ITAR world, that's a real problem and it can land you in jail. So cyber and the ability to classify information correctly, track the information correctly, and secure the information correctly is essential. If you're using an external contractor and you have ITAR and that external contractor, for example, an IT contractor, has someone who's classed as a third-party national, they cannot work inside your company. They cannot handle your data. They cannot see it. It would be a breach of ITAR and then it ends in tears. So there are some very, very real legal implications if you're not handling data correctly, and that ties directly into cyber, deeply into cyber. So for the last, defence-relevant data, that's going to be handled by my partner in crime, Rizwan Mahmood, and it'll follow on very specifically from what we talk about in defence cyber regulatory controls, because defence-relevant data is going to look at how supply chain differs markedly when it handles data that flows up and down the system compared to anything anyone's been used to in the commercial world. The important difference is the concept of custodial information. You'll be receiving data that you will be legally accountable for. In the commercial world, you take patents, you take designs. There are legal aspects, but no one's going to come after you with an axe. In the defence world, when you take on ITAR information, they'll come after you and they'll come after you until the end of time if you don't handle it correctly. So learning how to identify data, classify it properly and manage it, that's essential. Because if you can't do those three things, you can't even start to do cyber. Because everything in the regulations winds tightly around data. It's data and people. Those two things. So we'll talk about, we'll touch on custodial information security in my course, and it will be highly relevant in defence relevant data. And the two risks, data breaches and insider threats, the implications for companies that handle sensitive data like ITAR, those two things are central to defence relevant data, and they're very, very important in defence cyber regulatory controls. And that's, I think, pretty much the wrap-up of interactions. There are a lot of subtle interactions, but that's the top view. So I'm a fan of quotes, and Mark Twain was supposed to have said, and I say supposed to because often people are misquoted, but his take was that it's not so much what we know that gets us in trouble. It's what we know that just ain't so. So this goes arguably double for warfare between nations. And it's not hard to imagine that somewhere after the first army lost the first war, we saw the rise of both the first critic and the first spy. So information is critical in competition between nation states. It's absolutely imperative. And if you've ever read any of the great works coming out of the Asian masters, they'll talk again about how it's essential to the state. And it is. It's a life and death matter when you're looking at conflict. And it's no exaggeration, in my opinion, to state that a lack of certainty around victory has prevented far more conflicts than we will ever know. So the importance of keeping secrets and restricting the flow of information to potential competitors is a vital weapon. It's a weapon. I don't think I can state that enough. If you're not confident of victory, you're likely to not engage in war. So the workshops that we're doing, we're delving further into the concept of what is a secret. And that may sound weird, but it's actually the fundamental underpinning of cybersecurity, because it's something most people are confident they understand. They can tell you secrets, but they struggle to accurately define it when they're in defense because it's a different meaning and the implications are different. So the benefit from this training will come for those who are tasked with steering their organizations through this journey in defense. Cyber is increasing in importance all the time, and the forces that are shaping the future of cyber are always in motion. SMEs, they have the great joy of balancing the triple constraints: lack of money, lack of people, lack of time. And it's critical, therefore, to understand the purpose and exploit the benefits of cyber. So anybody who is in a position of brand building, doing business development, or simply running an SME, if you're looking to move into defense, you need someone in your team who's going to be able to handle cyber, because you're going to run into it again and again and again. It's relentless. So organizations that understand this concept and wrap it into their business, they'll win where everyone else doesn't.
So clearly important and clearly of interest to most people in the SME world in terms of having a good understanding across your entire organization on that importance. So you've said that there's 6 workshops. Can you give us an understanding of what the key points are of each of those workshops?
Yeah, absolutely. So session one is, I'm a great fan of quippy titles. So session one is called Getting a Handle on Things. In that, we'll tackle the rise of supply chain cybersecurity, you know, the why behind it. We'll look at the change strategic imperatives, which, you know, we're seeing in the news now. They're the things that drive this. And then we'll look specifically at cybersecurity, people, and game theory, because that has some very interesting implications on cyber. Session two is all about the C word, compliance, and or conformity, as anyone who does the ISO course will be told. Conformity is the word. The evolving conformity environment around cybersecurity frameworks, and that's in motion all the time because the frameworks are evolving, and how we're expected to comply to them, and the level of compliance or conformity. The level of requirement of conformity is changing. It's evolving all the time. So we'll look at the specific defense-related regulations that are going to really be changing the game for SMEs and how they're going to have to tackle them. So session three, we then talk about the game of risk. I used to play it as a kid, loved it, but we're playing the game of risk at exactly the same level now in the defense industrial base because we're part of that game. To understand it and do it correctly, we have to wrap our heads around the concept of risk. And in the defense supply chain, the concept of risk is very different to what people would assume from the word. We'll delve into that and we'll try and understand it a bit deeper. Session four is something that's dear to my heart and that drives the dark web, and that's compromised credentials. And I'll say here, make a very clear statement that it doesn't matter how good your cyber is, if somebody knows your login and password, it's an open door. So we'll talk about what compromised credentials are, we'll cover credential theft, and then we'll get into email and the ancient art of phishing. And that's with a PH. And I have some very interesting case studies to delve into on those. One of them as early as just a couple of months ago. in a very spectacular and very professional, a nation state level spearfishing attack. Beautiful, beautiful to watch. So section five is protecting identity, because identity ties back into credentials. And what do we love? What do we love? We love our social media. So we'll look at social engineering and how that impacts people, how you can be manipulated into doing things that on any given Monday you would not even contemplate. Tied into that, we'll look at surveillance capitalism. Now, that's going to be a very new concept to a lot of people, but to think of it is it's the trail of information you leave across the web, or it's sucked out of your interactions on the web by applications, by websites, by special interest entities such as Facebook, or as I like to call it, the NSA on weekends. Lastly, we're going to try and wrap all of this together in some sort of meaningful way so that people can trundle it forward like a wheelbarrow. So we're going to talk about weaponizing what people have seen, because it's useless to you unless you can use it. So the first thing we're going to do is teach people how to hack themselves, how to examine their digital online footprint, and how to minimize the exposure to credential information. And I'll stop quickly here. You've got a bank account, haven't you, Grant? And it's protected by the three standard passwords that the bank won't allow you to change. Or I should say, the password challenge responses. What's your mum's maiden name? What's your dog's name?
Where was your school?
Where was your school? What was the street? Now, where am I going to find that? Oh, gee, maybe Facebook, maybe Instagram, maybe LinkedIn. All the answers are there. So what we share can be a doorway into what we do in a very unanticipated way. So we'll cover how that needs to be tidied up. So weaponizing your public information, actually becoming strategic in what you share and how you share it. We'll also construct a roadmap, or help people construct their own roadmaps. Because as we said, cyber is a journey, it's not a destination. And you need a roadmap to move from spot to spot. Lastly, we'll do a specific session on insider threats, because that's one of the most difficult areas to counter, but it's also one of the most productive ones, because from the work I've done with eSafe and the work I've done with Guardware, 90 to 95% of all data leaks come back to human error, either through process error, behavior, or people who just don't care. So tackling those things will give you the most bang for buck very quickly. And I think that's probably a reasonable top-level summary of the sessions.
Yep, no, that's been a great overview. And you've also given us a couple of hints so far in the episode about some case studies and some examples. So I'm guessing that you're going to have quite a bit of information in here that people can relate to real business examples.
I think it's fundamental. The concept of visceral and vicarious experiences. I think if you're trying to impart information and people can't internalize it, it's not really helpful. But to take something like cyber and say to someone, this is just going to impact your business, the first question I'd say is, well, how? Tell me how. How? What does this mean? How's it happened before? What were the consequences? What happened? So you can take a fairly abstract concept like internal threat and then break it down with a number of experiences with case studies to show people how it happened, what was involved, how it was discovered, and the consequences. And from that, most people can say, oh, okay, then maybe I shouldn't pick up loose thumb drives in the car park. Right, you can connect those two points with the logic string that actually means something to people. So case studies, in my opinion, are woefully underutilized, but they're really essential, because that's the bit where the rubber meets the road for most people.
Well, that's great to hear, and I agree entirely. Definitely good to be able to apply it and internalize it. So you've given us a great understanding of what's going on in the seminar, what's happening in each of the six workshops, how all this links in with everything else in the Defence Ready seminar series. So the classic, the person's completed the six workshops, they've got all the information. What support is available to them after they've completed?
Oh, well, As I'm a member of Goal Group, so it's not like I'm going to be able to hide. We all talked about social media bleed. Everybody will obviously have my information, my details. I'll be able to help people with that material. I'm a phone call away. But you'll also have access to resources like, the Defence Vetting Service, and we'll give people all that contact information so that they can tie into the DISP resources. And in fact, one of the things we'll be handling out is working securely with Defence. I had the privilege of being able to input into that document, and I think it's probably one of the best documents I think I've ever seen written around how to actually process, derive cybersecurity that's specifically driven for an industry. And again, they use case studies because I suggested they use a lot of case studies. And so there are resources out there, and we'll tie people into those resources in each session, because I'm a firm believer in being able to educate yourself. I'm not here to teach you. I'm here to teach you how to learn. And from there, you can master your own journey.
Well, thanks, Ray. That's been a great overview of your seminar on defence cyber regulatory controls. And I really appreciated hearing this information, and I'm sure our audience did as well. So thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you too, Grant. I mean, it's been a pleasure doing this. It's been fun. And hopefully if you get time, you should drop in on my course as well.
Excellent. I'll endeavour to do so.
Thank you, sir. And have a great day.
You have been listening to another Defence Ready seminar episode. For more information on the Defence Ready seminar series, please visit the Goal Group website at www.goalgroup.com.au. This episode has been produced by Southern Skies Media on behalf of Goal Group. The content in this episode cannot be used without permission from Goal Group.
Southern Skies Media.